and welcome to Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey, when you can call in and ask any atheist anything that you want at 844-SKEPTIC. That's toll-free nationwide. I'm Becky Friedman, and with me in the studio today are Luke and Josh. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
I'm a little cold. I'm wearing shorts, but the weather's starting to get there.
It is starting to get there. It's a little bit back to school time, back to library time, would you say? Have you guys ever enjoyed going to your public library?
Oh, all the time. I love it.
They used to go all the time as a kid.
Okay, and sometimes you'd have like people from the community or the children's librarian or the reference librarian reading you stories and things like that.
It did happen a couple of times.
Never participated in that.
Your kids go to the library at all?
Yeah, my youngest goes on field trips down to the library with the school.
Nice. Okay. So I don't know if you guys had heard, but sometimes there's like literacy promotion events at, you know, oh, who knew of all places? A library, right? And sometimes you have people that read to kids. Maybe it's like get to know a person in your community a little bit more, like doctors read to the kids or firefighters read to the kids or police officers read to the kids or Disney princesses read to the kids or grandmas read to the kids or even drag queens. Can you guys imagine
what?
The amazing specialness of having someone with like eyelashes out to here, the most amazing bouffant hairdo, the color of the print of the painted face, the over the top, you know, wardrobe. Could you imagine that might be a little bit fun?
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. If I was like a little kid, that might rank up there with like police officer or Disney princess, right?
Right. I was just thinking about that from a kid's perspective. It'd be some super awesomely dressed person reading me a story enthusiastically.
Yeah, you'd That'd think, right? Well, two Christian groups are suing the public library in Lafayette Parish, Louisiana, because they believe that Drag Queen Story Hour promotes the so-called religion of secular humanism. Warriors for Christ and Special Forces of Liberty have named the library director...
wait, what?
Oh, hold on. Yes, indeed, yes. Warriors for Christ and Special Forces of Liberty have named the library director, the state attorney general, and Governor John Bel Edwards as defendants and asked federal judges to grant an injunction against the literacy events or to allow a minister to be president to offer a rebuttal. The lawyer for both groups stated to media that self-identified transgendered individuals are using a government facility to show that the governments back their worldview to then target children and to indoctrinate them under a faith-based ideology. Guys, I'm sorry, I need soap at this point. My mouth feels so dirty just saying those words. But anyway, the plaintiffs are reported to have filed hundreds of documents from purported ex-gay individuals and self-identified medical experts who contend that being gay is a choice. I just thought that, you know, having someone in a sparkly getup with amazing eyelashes and hair reading me a story enthusiastically was there to promote, you know, the ideology of like reading is fun. Who knew that they were actually promoting a religion of secular humanism, guys?
I mean, trying to go for a little bit of acceptance, but Jesus. So Special Forces of Liberty?
Yeah, you're really stuck on that one. Maybe with a little bit of your you know, military background, you could maybe be a little bit sensitive to when someone calls himself a warrior or special forces.
Yeah, trying to invoke Green Berets on your side, your bigotry, don't do that.
Do they really invoke Green Beret kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, that's what the special forces are. The special forces are Green Beret.
Okay, so but they could just be,
among others.
They could just be, you know, like invoking this verbally.
No. If you go to their Facebook page, it's all Special Forces imagery stolen from Special Forces websites, apparently. And they got 10 likes.
They're super popular.
10 Facebook likes. So someone's mom and their brother and their lawyer, right?
Probably a cousin.
Their lawyer is a peach of a person as well. He thinks that by trying to shut down Drag Queen Story Hour, he is unapologetically and firmly defending the civil rights movement led by Pastor Martin Luther King. So by interfering with a drag queen's ability to read to kids in a public library, he's fighting the good fight of civil rights. Square this one for me, guys, because I'm just lost.
Words don't matter. Words and people don't stances don't matter. That's the only thing I got.
I can't not laugh.
The ability to think that if you're trying to shut down someone who has an alternate gender presentation than what you believe to be biblically true or biblically, you know, moralistic, The ability to shut that person down is somehow defending civil rights, and is somehow defending, is in a long tradition of the civil rights movement of the 60s. I mean, this is trash. They should be ashamed of themselves.
They know no shame. They truly don't know shame.
They're equating these people's existence as what, like, against their religion, their laws of living.
Well, let's back up for a second. So we think that Warriors for Christ and Special Forces for Liberty, who seem to adopt all of the trappings of actual trained soldiers of elite natures, they think that having drag queens read to kids at a library, which this is a program that has been really successful in different areas around the country, really popular. It has seen pushback, you know, and usually in the face of this pushback, you have people coming out in droves to support the reading events and bringing their kids to say, you know, hey, look, this is just someone who also reads books and likes hanging out with kids and looks a little bit different from us. But, you know, I mean, they're really popular around the country. But saying that this promotes the religion of secular humanism, let's break that one down a little bit. Luke, you were actually thinking about, in our discussions before coming on the show, how secular humanism has indeed been deemed or declared a religion for certain purposes. Is that right?
It has. I believe there was a circuit court of ruling some years ago that established it as a religion with religious protections.
Ah, for the purposes of incarcerated individuals. We've covered this on the show, that if someone in a federal prison is allowed to create a Christian Bible study or a Muslim study group, then they can also have the same rights as a secular humanist.
Correct.
Okay, but at the same time, if you utilize public library space to do something that promotes literacy and you happen to be a secular humanist, that doesn't mean that, you know, the library itself is promoting religion. And do we see anywhere here that any of the drag queens that are going to be involved in reading are identifying as secular humanists or even promoting secular humanism?
Are they reading secular humanist texts? Are they trying to indoctrinate children into secular humanism?
I think they're just reading kids' books. And while there are awesome publications that are targeted towards non-religious children about what it means to have a world that's full of wonder and things like that, there was nothing to suggest that the books that these individuals would be reading would be anti-religious in any respect. Now, let's see. Would you guys be okay with a pastor doing read alouds to kids at a public library?
What's he reading?
Presumably something like Goodnight Moon or, you know, Peppa Pig or something.
I'm not really concerned about who reads what, as long as they're just reading some good books to kids.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with any of those books. Yeah, as long as they're not reading the Bible.
Okay.
unless it's like a special event for just, if it's completely just their thing, I mean, that's fine if they rented out the space.
Okay. So I'm really curious about if the Special Forces of Liberty and the Warriors for Christ don't achieve their goal of trying to get the drag queen story time shut down, but instead say, well, we want to have a pastor there to offer rebuttal. What's the rebuttal consist of?
Right. Are they going to counter Goodnight Moon somehow?
is that saying that, no, do not wish the oatmeal and the bowl of mush and the nanny rabbit whispering hush. Do not wish them good night. Go to bed without wishing them good night. I don't think that's the rebuttal that they're thinking of.
No.
And when we break it down more, the lawyer for both of these folks, I mean, for the two organizations, this is really, and I'm really serious when I said that I needed soap because my mouth feels dirty after reading these words. Drag queens are going to be reading to children. And the lawyer argues that self-identified transgendered individuals. Now, first of all, most folks, per my understanding, who are trans, use the word transgender or trans, but not transgendered. This is not a past tense thing. This is not something that is done and over with. And last time I checked, while there may be a link between someone who is, or there may be a crossover between someone who is a drag queen and someone who identifies as trans. It could just as easily be someone who is a pastor or someone who's a school teacher or someone who's a police officer or a librarian identify as trans, right? The desire to, you know, dress up and pursue being in drag has little often to do with your gender identity, rather right. just the form of expression of how you decide to dress your body and sort of inhabit a character. Now, this is my understanding of this. Feel free, absolutely free, to correct me on all of these things. But the fact that this lawyer is conflating transgender identity with a drag queen reading to kids really shows that they really just do not understand everything that falls under that LGBTQIA umbrella.
I don't think they use that word at home.
Oh, you don't think they use the word LGBTQIA? You don't think they use
it? No, they probably don't use that at all.
It's probably just a three-letter word that okay. they like to use that starts yeah. with F.
Okay, all right. So we're showing their hand a little bit there. Now, here's the other thing. Accusing someone who's a drag queen of using a government facility to show that governments back their worldview. Last I checked, a library that promotes reading is promoting the view that literacy is good. Last I checked.
Well, I mean, if you're reading something other than the Bible, obviously literacy right. is not good.
I mean, really, you just need to understand words enough to understand that you should do what the Bible tells you.
I'm assuming that you're playing the part of, okay, Luke, that's you are, a, are you Warrior for Christ?
And, no,
I'm definitely Special Forces.
Okay, there we go. All right. How did I get stuck in a room with Special Forces and Warriors for Christ?
No, I'm pretty sure that that's about as far as they want people to go.
So the other thing, even if you were using a government facility, and the government facility actually agreed with things like, oh, I don't know, inclusion for all people, regardless of gender expression, which I don't imagine might be on the books for Louisiana, but is definitely something that's promoted in other states. The fact that you conflate that this lawyer for Warriors for Christ and Special Forces for Liberty conflates being trans and being a drag queen and being gay and being a secular humanist, all of these things are one and the same for this individual, and then thinks that that we are targeting and indoctrinating children with faith-based ideology. You know, someone that might call themselves a warrior for Christ could maybe look in the mirror a little bit and pick who is indoctrinating whom and who is targeting whom for indoctrination under faith-based ideologies. And then the fact that you think that to prove your case, you're going to submit hundreds of documents from folks who claim to be ex-gay individuals. Not only are you conflating secular humanism with being trans, with being a drag queen, but also being gay. You're real special here. You know, I kind of feared a little bit, just a little bit, that by having an umbrella with lots of letters of LGBTQIA, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, and questioning and queer and intersex and asexual and allied, all of those things under one umbrella. You know, there's one part of that that says, hey, we are united as allies for each other and as people who boost each other up and prop each other up because of some shared similar experience. But at the same time, you've got some folks that assume that if you are one of the letters, you are all of the letters. And that to me, it shows that we still, as allies, as secular humanists, and as folks who really are invested in actual liberty, right? Freedom of expression, freedom to be able to express yourself as you want. We still have a ways to go in places like Lafayette Parish, Louisiana. What do you guys make of this? Would you bring your kid to drag queen read aloud?
I would have no problem with it.
Would you bring your kid to a pastor rebuttal read aloud?
Depends on what the pastor's going to be talking about. Is he rebutting based on the Bible, or is he just saying, how do you rebut the child's story?
He's not going to rebut the story. He's obviously going to go, don't listen to that person that read that story.
Right.
And it's going to be an attack on the reader. And if I had kids, I'd say to the part of the rebuttal, no, but I would attend.
So you'd attend that pastor's rebuttal. So So it'll be read aloud to Josh. All right. One little curious note about this. You know, sometimes when you send a fax or you receive a fax, those old-fashioned ways of communicating in, like, workplace office buildings and stuff like
it's
that.
It's all spam now.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes there would be someone with a fax letter cover that is, you know, has some fancy kind of thing on it, and it's just sort of like something you throw away. The filing of this lawsuit, the front page, actually has some of that fancy stuff on it just for kicks. There's a YouTube link for a political campaign to grant marriage rights to heterosexual couples only. So that's, you know, as far as people wanting to indoctrinate people into their faith-based ideology, that's laid bare, as well as this gem of a quote. Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act.
So are they conflating drag queens with evil?
Oh, yes. Drag queens, gay people, trans people, secular humanists, and anyone else? Yeah, we're all evil. Mm-hmm.
So this is really just thinly veiled hate speech bundled up in legalese.
It's not even thinly veiled hate speech. It's thinly veiled God-inspired hate speech per Warriors for Christ and Special Forces. You know, I love the library, and I think when we come back after the break, we may indeed have another touch on literacy-based events and libraries and maybe conflations of things that people think are evil.
Have you or a loved one ever dealt with squiditis? Or have you ever had a life-changing problem? Squid Ink is your answer. Squid Ink cures back pain, depression, nicotine addiction. Concerned about your financial situation? Don't worry. Squid Ink pens will give you money. The Squid Ink atoms metabolize into pure, non-toxic happiness.
My name is Archibald Toothis. I used to be sad and lonely, but now I have two girlfriends, all thanks to the Squid Ink bracelets.
Side effects may include tentacle growth, itching, bruising, and happiness.
Hello, and welcome back to Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. It is September, heading into autumn, and it's a time when we like to think about learning and school. I mean, I always like to think about learning and school and things like that because, you know, I'm a teacher and everything. But hey, you know what? We just finished with that library story, and I got another one up our sleeve because the Public Library Board in Rumford, Maine, voted unanimously to reject the request of three local pastors to censor a display honoring banned and censored books. Dan Pearson of the Rumford Baptist Church, Justin Thacker of Praise Assembly of God, and Father Nathan March of the Parish of the Holy Savior submitted a letter demanding the destruction of all homosexual books and shielding of children from being subjected to early sexualization through seeing gay characters on book covers, and also urged that the library should not be promoting a far-left political view that sees homosexuality as acceptable. The letter also argued that members of the community would likely consider the cover art of one book that featured two naked women as immodest and inappropriate for a pubic setting, such as a public display in the library. At the library board meeting, Pastor Pearson suggested that if the library is going to promote LGBTQ acceptance, that they should also have a display promoting more biblical conservative sexuality. So we unpacked a lot of the last library story. Let's unpack a little bit that we do believe, in our best estimation, that we think that writing a letter stating that immodest and inappropriate book covers are immodest and inappropriate for a pubic setting was maybe a typo, perhaps the most obvious typo that you could have made in this particular case. But we'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they actually thought that it was inappropriate for a public setting. So you guys can laugh audibly at this point. You're containing yourself at this moment. We can see that. But let's see. What do you guys think? Should we burn all homosexual books?
The whole... did they not understand the irony of the statement?
Censoring topic about censored. we're talking about books that are banned and censored, and they want to censor that. They're just talking about them.
Not just censor them, but destroy them, too.
I'm stuck on banning and destroying homosexual books. Who knew that books, that a print tome, had a sexual orientation? I mean, no. Here's the thing. When you have sexual themes inside a book, they are likely to be banned. They are likely to be contested. They are likely to be censored by individuals. But public libraries have a long tradition of saying no to that kind of junk, of saying this is a place where all knowledge is kept. I mean, do we want to repeat Library of Alexandria again? I mean, is that where we're going here, Mr. Pastor Pearson?
No, thank you. No, banning books always infuriates me. It's just one of those things that just really bothers me. And anybody that calls for it just, frustrates me.
So clearly they're believing that people are bringing their kids to the public library because they're worried about kids seeing cover art on a comic book, on a graphic novel that features nude women, that has a theme about queerness and being lesbian, as if the community would find that completely unacceptable and subjects children to early sexualization. Here's another thing. They didn't just say that it sexualizes kids or subjects them to those kinds of things. They actually said that in other contexts, this would be considered abuse of children. They float so closely to saying that the public library is abusing children by featuring a book prominently, as if just sticking it in the middle of a bookcase also would not be accessible to books. I mean, to kids.
Have they read their book?
That's what I want to say. How many assaults, how many trickeries, sexual trickeries are detailed in the Hebrew scriptures, which is part of their New Testament, right? I mean, which is part of their what they consider their Old Testament. So to be fair, I actually wouldn't mind if they included the Bible and the Quran in that display of banned and censored books.
They have been banned and censored.
Indeed. And I would like to see them try and say, we want to ban this book because it features lesbians, or ban The Color Purple because it, also has themes that are objectionable to us. Oh, what are the themes? Sexual themes, people considering or contemplating homosexual behaviors or feelings. Oh, you mean like in your Bible?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely, right. In the Bible, because David was definitely questioning in that. King David?
I'm not seeing where you're going with this. I just thought that he was questioning whether he got to own all of his concubines and send Bathsheba's husband to the front lines to be killed so he could add another one. Is that not David? Maybe
no, that was David.
Solomon? Okay.
Well, no, Solomon is the one that tried to kill David. But I think it's pretty clear that David had a thing for Solomon's son also.
Okay, that's a different reading that I'm not familiar with, but maybe Pastor Pearson or Reverend Thacker or Father Nathan could help us out with that. One of the other things that is featured on that table, though, is the really darling book called Tango Makes Three. It's about the penguins. You guys know about these penguin daddies?
I've heard about the book. I haven't seen it yet.
So it's based on something that's observable in nature, where you'll have male penguins that can actually adopt an egg and raise a chick.
Right, that happened at a zoo a couple of years ago, didn't it?
Yeah, so this is something that is a novelized, not novelized, but a picture book, retelling of something that's observable in nature. Somehow that's sexualizing our children? Last time I looked, going to the zoo and seeing animals just tells us how our world works, sirs. And if that's what's getting your panties all up in a bunch, then I think that you really need to, pay more attention to your own pubic areas instead of, the pubic sittings of a public library. No, I'm going to really hammer that joke home because really, of all the typos you're going to make, you're going to leave out the L in the word public when you're objecting to sexually based things.
I'm guessing they freaked out and tried to get this thing out as fast as possible and then realized the errors later.
Well, they did say that at the board meeting that they wish they could have had time to revise it a little bit more and it hadn't been made public. Here's another thing that puts the tell on this guy. This Pastor Pearson was arguing at the board meeting, and where the library board legitimately and rightfully said, no, we hear your concerns and we consider them and also reject them now. He said, if the library is going to promote this LBLB, and he kind of like trails off and stutters, and he has to have the rest of the audience, the rest of the people attending that board meeting fill in the blanks.
Again, I don't think that's the word he uses at home.
Oh, so he's not familiar with what all the letters are because he doesn't care
right.
to see each of those letters as individual identities or sexual orientations.
They're just people he hates.
Okay, all right. So more biblical conservative sexuality. What do you guys think?
Mm.
That's a good thing for a library, yeah. So, okay, let's leave the world of libraries, because I think both these libraries are actually doing absolutely the right thing. You know, they're promoting literacy events through some awesome and visually appealing, exciting things for kids. They're honoring that books have been banned and censored, but yet we uphold and celebrate free speech. Speaking of free speech, there have been two senators that have co-sponsored a resolution calling for the U.S. president and the State Department to urge countries worldwide to repeal anti-blasphemy, apostasy, and heresy laws. Senators James Lankford, a Republican from Oklahoma, and Chris Coons, a Delaware Democrat, worked with the American Humanist Association to propose the resolution, which is nearly identical to a 2017 bipartisan proposed congressional resolution that garnered little attention. Currently, people of minority religious views face harsh punishments in more than 40 countries, with 69 countries having some sort of law restricting free speech and free expression on religious matters. Senator Coons noted that apart from stifling free and open discourse, these laws are often used to imprison activists, journalists, and other peaceful political dissidents. Senator Lankford argued that the freedom of religion enjoyed by us in the U.S. protects the rights of each person to live his or her faith and has created greater trust and unity in our nation instead of greater division. This is lovely. Don't you guys think?
It's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, it's that it's bipartisan is a really good thing. I mean, it's one of the few things that probably is bipartisan at this point. But it happened in 2017. It didn't go anywhere.
Right.
So we'll see if it goes anywhere here, you know, in the Senate. I mean, there are a ton of things that the Senate and Congress could be doing right now, but if we're going to have people that are visibly and vocally advocating for freedom of religion, which includes the rights of people to leave their religion of birth, rail against what they believe to be illogical or immoral religious practices or beliefs, it includes the right to have no religion. I think that that's really important, and we on the show have absolutely, I think, you know, covered so much about why these blasphemy laws are so terrible. It's not just about keeping order, but they get used as retributions against your neighbors, you know? Oh, you don't like that they stiffed you out of something or that they're, you know, they built a fence where something fell on your side of the property? Why don't I just accuse them of blasphemy? Whether it goes anywhere, you know, maybe a mob will come and terrorize them and I'll be on my way to heaven, whatever I need. And when you have governments and municipalities that uphold these laws, it encourages and legitimizes these kinds of behaviors towards others.
Now, the numbers of mob murders or political-oriented attacks, they're far too many in some of these countries. And it bothers me.
It legitimizes actual witch hunts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Trump talks about witch hunts all day long. But this is actually what happens, is it actually encourages people to look out for their neighbor for whatever slight they imagine to be something they can act upon.
Absolutely. So I want to take us a little bit back to the realm of education and school, not libraries, but school board. You know, that's another place where you shouldn't be indoctrinating kids into faith-based things, but, you know, having standard, understanding of biology or the world around you is probably a good thing, right? You know, sort of like visiting the zoo and seeing the, you know, daddy penguins and whatnot. Well, school board member in Chino, California seems to disagree. School board member in Chino, California spent September's meeting ranting about sex education, a supposed link between gender-neutral bathrooms and increased abortion rates, and Nazi Germany. Andrew Cruz argued that it wasn't Hitler that was bad, but rather the German people who followed his laws and agenda in an out-of-control manner. Cruz advocated against following existing laws that protect school children on issues of sexual health and trans rights, contending that sermons have told him that the direction of our country compels the school board to cede to parental rights over state law. Cruz feared that current policies would lead to the destruction of gender itself, thereby raising abortion rates. and cited publications by the fringe group American College of Pediatricians, which supports so-called conversion therapy for homosexuals and links homosexuality to pedophilia. What do you guys think? Do you think Andrew Cruz knows all the letters and what they stand for under that rainbow umbrella?
I'm guessing no.
Hitler wasn't bad? It wasn't Hitler that was bad? What the heck was it? Please tell me he misspoke there.
So I was looking real hard to try and find a misspeak. And as far as I can tell, he seems to think that while Hitler's policies and agenda was bad, the real culprits, the real perpetrators of evil was anyone who went around with the evil agendas.
So not the doer of the evil agenda, but somebody that didn't do anything about it, which there is some truth to that, but Hitler wasn't bad? What the F?
I'm pretty sure that the Hitler was bad. I'm going to go with that.
Most of us would be sure that most Americans would abide by that view as well. And unfortunately, it seems to be less and less.
What does this guy like? Have Nazi sympathies, or is he just kind of kooky?
Well, I think yes is the answer to that. We looked a little bit into his past and his background, and he has supported the flying of the Confederate flag, which oftentimes is just a very thin proxy for racism.
Right.
Yet he also thinks that we're not a racist country anymore, so anyone who brings it up and talks about it, you know, is doing a disservice. That was in light of the Charleston church shootings.
Which were motivated directly by the desire to start racial riots?
Yes. So, basically, the kooky part, I don't know if he's kooky or if he is malicious or whether one precludes the other. But my favorite thing is, if you allow children to use the bathrooms, that is their bathroom, right? Like, you have a child and they say, I go to the boys' bathroom. And if you allow them to go to the boys' bathroom, without checking what's below their belt and inside their underpants first, apparently that is going to destroy the concept of gender altogether, which, I mean, in my opinion, I don't know if that's such a bad thing altogether. Just let people be who they want to be without actually needing to be falling in line with these prescribed gender roles. So I don't know if that's such a bad thing, but the fact that he thinks that destroying gender will lead to increased abortion rates? That's a link that I'm not really sure is
there. I'm not sure about the logic on that one.
You got any guesses on this, Josh?
Nah, I mean, maybe he's related to Ted Cruz or something like that. That's about the only thing I can get.
So, he's clearly against abortion, but at the same time, he's clearly against teaching kids about sexual health. And he's clearly against letting children be who they are gender-wise, because he thinks that teaching them about sexual health and letting them be who they are and use the bathrooms that they want to will somehow make more kids pregnant.
Doesn't that actually decrease teen pregnancies?
Sexual education and access to sexual health resources. Yeah, one might look to Colorado to look at that. One might look to when, you know, all kinds of states started increasing sexual health education that's comprehensive and medically accurate, you know, not focused on abstinence only and things like that. Yeah, seems to decrease teen pregnancies. And so the other thing that this guy does, publications from American College of Pediatricians. It sounds like a really good, legitimate group, right?
Yeah, it does sound legit.
It does until you read about it.
Yeah. So who are they and what's their whole big thing?
They are some sort of like super far right pro conversion therapy group, and they're anti-homosexual and duh.
So kind of like Special Forces of Liberty.
Kind of like that.
I wonder if the American College of Pediatricians would actually have some crossover with Special Forces of Liberty.
They must be one of the likes.
Yeah, that is one of the,
one of the 10 likes on their Facebook page. So there's a few things here. One is that this guy is motivated by what he thinks sermon tells him, right? Sermons tell him. His church is telling him that we must supersede state law.
So what his pastor says is what he needs to do?
Yeah.
And, despite the law?
And he's an elected official. And so This is someone who's an elected official saying, screw the law. we should do what God tells us, or the messenger of God tells us. That's frightening as heck for me.
You know what's funny? This is this guy's second term.
Ooh, that's funny. You meant peculiar
Fun,
or
funny
sad
in a,
or terrifying.
In a sad, terrifying kind of way.
I also read, actually, that while this guy, Andrew Cruz, on the Chino Valley, you know, school board, is he's one guy that tends towards some of the conspiracy theories and things like that. He's actually just one of, you know, like 5 out of 6 of the people on the school board who all belong to the same church. So Wow. Maybe, I mean, if you belong to this church and you're letting your colleague, your elected colleague, say, yes, this is what our sermons are telling us, and you're not stepping in to correct him and say, no, that's not actually what our pastor's, you know, rooting for. Or even if that is what our pastor is rooting for, we can't mix that with our secular politics of government
right.
and schooling. This isn't just about one crazy, kooky guy.
No, it's a church trying to influence public policy.
And I think this is one of the most insidious things about, say, Franklin Graham, you know, Billy Graham's son,
yes.
who is going around as a traveling minister right now. He, at his rallies in all of these states, rallies specifically encouraging his followers to inject themselves into local politics. It's not looking at just, Trump having a White House full of evangelical ministers praying over him, right? Or having the cognitive dissonance of you have a president who brags about sexually assaulting women, yet is somehow an evangelical savior. It's not just at the federal level. You have folks that are saying, go get elected to your local everything, to your local county council, to your school boards, to your planning commissions. You know, the planning commissions are the ones that grant whether you can zone this area for religious places.
Right.
And this is something that's insidious that I believe that we as secularists have a duty to watch out for. And those who are people of faith have a duty to watch out for as well. Because just as these senators who believe that anti-blasphemy laws should be repealed in all countries, just as those two senators, Republican and Democrat, say our religious liberty and expression, freedom of expression, protects us all, protects them as people of faith and protects people of other faiths. And, well, they didn't say it. Religious freedom protects people of no faith as well. You know, religious people have an interest in making sure that the government is not infiltrated by these folks that want to say, to hell with your secular law. My pastor and my sermons tell me this. We've got to ignore when a school is beholden to its constituents and its children to teach them about things like medically accurate and comprehensive sexuality health education. And we're going to ignore that and put it straight to the parents. The parents who are saying things like, you know, using the bathroom might make you pregnant. You know, idiotic stuff like that.
And I was reading that this whole program in California requires parental permission in order to actually go to it.
Ah, so in order to...
Yes.
You know, that's not so dissimilar from Washington State. We have laws on the books that say that if a school district offers sexuality and sexual health education, it must be medically accurate and comprehensive, medically and scientifically accurate and comprehensive. So it can't be abstinence only. It has to teach about all of the medical and scientific facts about it. And anyone that does that, a parent can opt their child out of it, right? So parents still have that option to take their kid out of it. So it's not so dissimilar from what's
right.
in Washington. And yet you have people that are saying that that's not enough.
Well, because religious people hate filling out forms. I mean, we've learned this because that was too much of a burden on people to fill out forms for access to birth control for employees of a company through the insurance company.
We're talking about the Wheaton College case, the Obamacare case, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, ages ago, it feels like now when we say, you know, all of you, all employers must provide health insurance that gives women access to birth control, right? That's a thing.
They were given the option to fill out paperwork to not have to meet that requirement, and that was too much of a burden on their religious freedom.
Man, this is going full circle. But I think a few other little highlights about this Andrew Cruz on the school board is that He's not just someone who wants to get his religion in there. He's also a crazy conspiracy theorist. And while one does not lead to the other, in this case, this guy has both of them. He has a case of comorbid religiosity and conspiracy theories. What are some of the little gems that he wanted? Wanted to, what, test his rainwater for
heavy metals. I think he was a chemtrail guy.
Okay.
I mean, if he believed that the earth was flat, he'd be kind of like a guy I know.
Okay. You know guys like this.
Oh, yeah, I know.
These people exist.
So I hang out in the Kitsap County music scene pretty frequently, and I also go to a lot of shows over in Seattle. And there are a few that are fairly anti-Semitic and quite conspiracy theory oriented.
So you could argue, or you could see this guy arguing, you know, the Hitler wasn't all that bad.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Do you ever face that and say, "Oh, dude, back it up, back it up. This is a crazy thing talking."
Arguing with a person like this has never worked out well for me.
Okay.
They say, "Dude, just watch this YouTube video. It'll show you everything.
Oh,
and then you'll understand."
Like the kind that comes in on the cover of your lawsuit.
Right. They don't logic well.
So this seems to happen in the music scenes that you're into. Is that right?
It's happened a few times. I've known a few people.
Yeah, sadly, heavy metal and the genres that I follow kind of are conspiratorially... they like conspiracy theories. Some of it's like they put into their art to kind of bring attention to it, and sometimes it sounds good, but a lot of time, but they really wholeheartedly believe in theories like the Illuminati controls everything.
Right. Tool had an Art Bell episode at the end of one of their albums, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a little clip.
Now, was that done in irony, or...?
I'm not... With Tool, I don't really know.
Okay.
It's... they're out there already, so it could be fully on serious, but their website is hilariously vague and cryptic and weird. Then you have... What, like Billy Corgan and his aliens?
Yeah, Billy Corgan's from Smashing Pumpkins is huge in aliens. He always is trotted out on InfoWars, and it pops up on Joe Rogan a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. A few weeks ago when Dave was on, he really talked about that card line. Who crosses that line when an artist's personal views make it difficult for you to enjoy the product that they make? So is that the case with you guys? If someone's fans, if you go to a music show and you have fans that either seem to be kind of like this California school board guy that thinks that, you know, Hitler wasn't all that bad, or that, the destruction of gender will lead to horrible things that are against your religious beliefs. Like, what do you do? Does that mar your experience there? Does it put your view of the artist into question?
Most of the time, everybody's just like, "I like your music, man, but you're crazy. Don't talk to me."
Ah.
But every now and then, you'll run into a situation where, like, back in 2003, I went to Ozfest, and one of the guys from Pantera, I believe, was doing a solo tour, and he got up there and started doing his singing, and then started doing the Sieg Heils all over the place, and the crowd started joining in, and then I started looking around, and there was Nazi symbology all over, and I never went again.
And that was in around 2003.
2003.
We tend to think of this as something that is more blatant now. Certainly within Tacoma, and certainly within different areas of the country that maybe haven't seen this kind of activity in a long time are now starting to see this, right? But that's 2003.
I've been noticing it for a while. I mean, a lot of people have been telling me, "Hey, this racism thing isn't a problem." And I'm like, dude, just 5 years ago, I delivered pizza to a guy that had a Nazi shrine over his fireplace.
Did you tell him who his pizza was made by? Or But so this is not something that's particularly new.
No.
Okay. All right. Josh, what about you?
Yeah, I'm from the Eastern Washington, so it's very white over there. And it's being near Coeur d'Alene, it was infamous for its white nationalist rallies. And so it was. It's always been in my purview.
So, do you think that there's something linking the folks that want to destroy the gay displays at libraries or shut down a drag queen read aloud, and those who want to say, screw the school education laws, let's do what our pastor says. Do you think they all have got something in common with these folks that are, you know, at the music festivals or the ones that have the Nazi symbology above their fireplace?
I don't think they're the same people, but they have a lot of cross links. They all have a lot of things that are similar in interest, but they're not all necessarily the same.
It's a very merged Venn diagram.
It's big.
It's a little bit unnerving at this time, and we'll see if maybe after the break we can come back to something a little more nerving.
That'd
instead of unnerving. This is Ask an Atheist. You can always call and leave a voicemail at 844-SKEPTIC or tweet us at AskAnAtheistWA.
Have you heard about these new Squid Ink products? You may have heard about how good they are and how they're miracle cures and can make you more attractive. I'm here to tell you the truth about one of their products. Their Squid Ink drink claims to fix things like headaches, pains, and broken limbs. I managed to get a hold of their drink and try it. I was told that it would make my back pain go away by the next day. A day later, my back still hurts. All this drink contains is just some vinegar and dye. That is the real truth about their product.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. We got me, Becky, and Josh and Luke in the studio. And you guys find sometimes parking around the Pacific Northwest can be a little bit difficult, right?
This is why I drive a Jeep.
Okay. All right. Josh, you do have a larger vehicle yourself. You ever find parking maybe in downtown Seattle to be a little bit tough or...
I avoid Seattle like the plague.
Ah, that's why you live out kind of in the country.
Yeah, if I go to Seattle, it's usually on the train.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, sometimes there's folks that don't like taking public transit, and they tend to go to all one place all at the same time and then take up a lot of parking spaces. This is the case of what happened in Texas. An art gallery owner in Texas has resorted to visual assault to shame churchgoers away from parking in his business's four designated spots. Hiram Butler installed a 16-foot pink sign across four parking spots reading, "Gay Conversion Therapy Parking Only," in the hopes that members of the nearby River Point Church would quit parking in the spots designated for the gallery. The admittedly satirical signage is the latest move in trying to keep the church members from using the spots. While the goal of the signage was to try to embarrass people into behaving better, the problem has not resolved. Riverpoint's senior pastor Patrick Kelly vowed to continue to be diligent to prevent worshipers from using Mr. Butler's four parking spaces. I love this art installation!
It's good. The sign itself is actually, I mean, despite the fact that it says gay conversion therapy parking only.
In pink.
And it's a well-made sign. Is quite aesthetically pleasing.
Well, he owns an art gallery. He says this is, you know, my property. Yeah, it's part of the parking lot connected to the gallery, so I'm going to put an art installation there, right? I love the level of trolling that he's got going on there.
It's really good.
So this has been going on for about a year. People come to a church event, and it's not just on Sundays, you know, when it's like an off day for the art gallery or something like that. It's like 3, 4, 5 days a week. You park, you fill up all the street parking, you fill up the parking on the sides, and turns out this is a branch campus of River Point Church. And it's actually at a pastor's private home where they run a Bible study.
Is that even legal zoning-wise?
So here's the thing. Remember how we talked about Billy Graham saying, hey, Christian evangelicals that want to promote all of this God-given policy, get on your school boards, get on your library boards, get on your zoning commissions and planning commissions. This is exactly the reason why someone who wants to be able to have church Bible study in a private home would promote someone getting in on a planning commission. Because you can say, hey, you know what? We're just not going to worry about enforcing those zoning laws that say if you're actually having a place of worship, you need to have designated parking spots. Some of them have to be handicap accessible. You have to have appropriate sewage installation. So you might need to upgrade, you know, your septic tank and connect to city sewer and things like that.
That's a big one right there. That's a full septic tank.
Oh, yeah. So you have this nearby business owner who's just trying to be, you know, nice and cordial. And it's been going on a year. And you know what? this is his solution instead of calling the tow company. He says, that's just a little more aggressive than I want to be. I love everything about this. This is a Bible study group. They want to do this. And the art gallery owner is, I don't really want to mess with them. I don't want to cause them harm. I don't want to tow their vehicles away. I just want to be able to have my patrons be able to have one of four parking spaces where they can come in and see my art.
I'm going to say that I hope he just starts calling the tow company.
You would not be so forgiving
in this case. No, absolutely not, because give an inch, they take a foot.
Or four parking spaces, as it might be. I also love that the guy, he's not part of this American College of Pediatricians that believes in gay conversion therapy. He himself, Mr. Hiram Butler, is gay. And he actually, inside his gallery, has these little pink flyers that match the whole font and the whole, you know, artistic setup of the sign, of the big, you know, no parking sign. And it's about gay conversion therapy, how to convert you to being gay by praying straight away. It just keeps getting better, doesn't it?
Oh, man, that's great.
So do you guys think that, shaming someone or embarrassing someone into good behavior is more effective than the economic pressure?
People that don't feel shame can't be shamed.
Okay, so you're going to go with the economics.
I'm going with the neoliberal economic solution for this.
Okay. Luke?
They are forgiven for their transgressions, so.
So the transgression of parking in someone else's spot,
right,
which would kind of be like theft at that point. Right? Because if it's preventing other people from coming to the gallery, that's theft of business. It's preventing business and things like that.
And they're stealing from somebody they don't necessarily agree with on their religious levels again.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of not agreeing with people on religious levels, I'm going to go into something that's a little bit sensitive for me personally and the people that I tend to work with on a regular basis. North Carolina's Baptist State Convention announced this month that it is launching Baptist Immigrant Services as a response to the convention's 2015 resolution that called for such outreach and deemed the arrival of immigrants a divine opportunity. While all locations across the state will include staff members that are certified by the U.S. Department of Justice to provide legal counsel to immigrants, an official announcement from the convention states that churches will be encouraged to establish a variety of ministry efforts to engage immigrants with the gospel. The 2015 resolution urged churches to reach out to immigrants as a demonstration of the love of Christ and in order to build relationships so as to more effectively be able to proclaim the hope of the gospel. Help me through this one, guys. Tell me what's good about it.
Well, they're helping people.
Okay.
That's about it. They're helping people, but at a cost.
So right. What would be the cost in this case?
The price of entry is being proselytized to.
It's like the homeless sermons where you get a sandwich at the end.
Okay, so in order to have the dignity of being able to eat something, you have to suffer through someone telling you that whatever you're doing in your lifestyle isn't good and you need to do it this way because that's what Christ would have wanted.
Right.
And by the way, now we're not going to starve you.
Yay.
I do got to say that, you know, I appreciate very much that when you have a place that's going to be serving immigrants in terms of offering legal counsel, they will be vetted by DOJ. That's been something that in Washington State, our attorney general has really pursued in terms of making sure that anywhere that's offering or selling themselves as giving legal advice with regards to immigration and naturalization and residency and things like that, our attorney general in Washington has been really good at ferreting out those folks that are not licensed or certified or endorsed by the Department of Justice to be able to do that. And that's really important because if you're, you know, looking at any kind of government forms, even if you're a native English speaker, even if you're highly literate in English, those things are hard. Forget not wanting to fill out the paperwork. This is just an ability thing. Can you fill out the paperwork without messing up?
They are very difficult.
So,
lots of difficult paperwork.
So to have someone to be able to assist in that seems great. To say we're only doing this because we think of it as a divine opportunity to bring more people to our God, that seems so underhanded to me. You're using your religion not as a motivator to be good, but you're using a good act as an excuse to getting good with your God.
Funny story there. So my oldest son's mom, she was in the Philippines when Mount Pinatubo erupted. And after that, in the aftermath, The Mormons came in and tried to help everybody out.
Now, Philippines is not really highly Mormon or highly LDS region, is it?
No, but they came in, they built a church and tried to help the community out from the aftermath of the eruption, which is like feet of ash. And so they converted to Mormonism. They built a house for them. And then when the Mormons left, they went back to go into the Catholic Church.
I think she had it right there. I think she was onto something. I want to compare this and bring it up with one other thing. And this is a Tennessee state senator who has been caught on video decrying Medicaid expansion because it would turn people away from Christ. Republican Mark Green, who is running for U.S. Congress, was recorded in 2015 reasoning that every person who has turned to Christ has done so because of physical needs, and that if people in need were to turn to government for support, it would interrupt the opportunity for people to come to a saving knowledge of who God is. The video was shared by Green's long-shot Democratic opponent, Justin Kanu, who pointed out the Republican rejection of proposed Medicaid expansion led to the shuttering of hospitals in rural areas and left nearly 300,000 Tennessee residents without health coverage. So, we're not going to provide medical stuff for you, give you the dignity of regular health care, because that's going to interfere with you being religious. And for the North Carolina Baptists, we're going to provide this service of naturalization and immigration counseling to you, but only because it helps us get you in good with our God. I see these as one and the same, and I see them as tremendously terrifying and disquieting.
So their God requires you to suffer in order to be a member of their church or in order to live life?
In terms of the Medicaid guy,
yeah,
it would seem like it.
Well, nobody's suffered more than Jesus, so how dare you?
Well, yeah, I mean, if Jesus did all the suffering, then why not provide medical care and services for everyone? Because, you know, if it's all done through Jesus, then, you know, it's all good. All the suffering's good. No,
didn't Jesus heal people?
I would think so.
Maybe. I mean, say spitting in the eye of a blind guy is healing?
Who even knows at this point? Hey, be on the watch for people trying to get into government to try and undo those freedoms of expression, those freedoms to get those dignity services that are part of being human. This is Ask an Atheist. Thank you, Luke. Thank you, Josh, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tweet us at AskAnAtheistWA. Email us at questions@AskAnAtheist. Ask us questions. Email us at atheist.radio, questions@atheist.radio, and see you guys next week.